Hey there, I'm Dave Kawula, Microsoft MVP and one of the founders of MVP Days Community Roadshow. MVP Days Community Roadshow is an initiative that's been put on by Canadian Microsoft MVPs, where we want to take and we want to bring our knowledge that we've learned in the field and some of the sessions that we've presented at some of the world's largest conferences back to you. And to people inside of our region. So right now our show is exclusively in Western Canada, and hopefully we'll be expanding soon, and maybe we'll have some big announcements coming up. You never know. Not just yet though. All right, in this particular video that we're going to go through today, we're gonna discuss a little bit about Hyper-V design best practices. And this particular video was spurred on from a session that I did with one of my best friends and just amazing colleagues that I've had a chance to work with over the past few years inside of the MVP community. His name is Marcos Nogueira, and he is just a brilliant individual. And you know, we've delivered some absolutely amazing sessions over the course of the past couple years. I had the pleasure of co-presenting with one of his sessions at Microsoft Tech Ed a couple years ago. That was actually one of the first sessions that we had done together, and went so well that we've just kind of continued doing sessions like that over the course of the past couple years and probably continue for the next foreseeable future. So when we take a look at Hyper-V design best practices, there's a lot of intricacies that go into the build, the design, the long-term operations, maintenance, and those pieces that are going to go into, you know, a sustainable Microsoft virtualization, virtual infrastructure. We've got probably one of the coolest demos that I've ever put together inside of this particular shoot that we did at MVP Days 2014 in Vancouver. We had a little bit of a challenge where we wanted to take and we wanted to build a three-node Hyper-V cluster from bare metal, and we wanted to do it live in front of the audience. And we had pretty much a sold-out crowd at the session that we had rolling across all four of the cities last year. And so we started off by having some rather interesting challenges inside of this. We started off, I believe our first show last year was in Saskatoon. And I think we started off by trying to get the demo done in less than 20 minutes. And we made it just under the wire. And so we had a couple of days in between each of the shows to tweak the infrastructure. So the next city in Vancouver, I think we made it in, you know, around 18 minutes. Did Calgary, I think we might have even gotten down as low as 16 minutes. And, you know, it was amazing to see the feedback that we had from people when they viewed the session. And they had the chance to actually see that, you know, Microsoft Hyper-V is not that complicated to at least get initially stood up and deployed and get functional for your infrastructures. Now, we were doing it on laptop hardware. It's not, you know, enterprise grade gear where you'd have to service pack and firmware and flash. And I get that. But the point of this was to showcase that, you know, we could rapidly provision a Hyper-V infrastructure in relatively short order. So I tell you what, we'll jump into the demos that Marcos and I did in the session on designing Hyper-V the right way. In a couple minutes, what we'll do is we'll jump into a brief break here, and when we come back, we'll jump right into the video.
Anyone see me?
Hold on. Is that better? Can you hear me at the back? Oh. Can you hear me now that I turn on the mic?
There. Yeah. There, that's so much better. Perfect. All right. Well, Welcome to the session that's going to absolutely blow your minds. This one here, Marcos and I spent about 7 minutes preparing for, so this one should go fairly well. We've got about 700 slides to go through in 45 minutes, so we'll talk really fast as we go through. Marcos and I, the way we like to present is that we like to have very interactive and fun sessions, and this is the way we kind of do things at Tech Ed and when we're speaking around the world, because if you can't, you know, travel around the world with your buddy on a weekly basis, going to road shows every other day and not have fun, then why do it, right, Marcos?
Yes.
All right,
exactly.
So just a couple quick housekeeping notes here. I'd like to just obviously thank our sponsors. This is a free event that they've been able to put together for you guys to be able to attend. And, you know, without their gracious support, this event wouldn't be possible. So, you know, many thanks to our sponsors. Okay, second little piece of housekeeping. Best picture tweet to CDN MVP Days. If you guys want to see some examples of what happened in Saskatoon for the best tweets, you can just pull up that Twitter hashtag, and you can see what was going on in Saskatoon. Put your pictures up there. If you get something good, something cool, fun, creative, whatever it is, we're giving away a Surface Pro. And so it's Surface Pro 2, actually, we're giving, 64 gig. It's a nice little unit. And so make sure that you participate, and we'll have some fun throughout the day here. All right, now for our session that we have. Marcos and I do a lot of work inside of the Hyper-V community, and we decided to come up with a brand new session called Designing Hyper-V the Right Way. And we've built a demo that's never been tested before anywhere. Like I said, we put about 7 minutes into designing this, so hopefully it goes well. So in case you guys don't know, my name is Dave Kawula. I work for Tricon Elite Consulting. We're based out of Canada, and we work all around North America. I've got my Twitter handle up there, and I've got my dear friend Marcos, who's here to speak with myself as well. We're both Microsoft MVPs, and so we love getting out in the community and speaking to you guys about kind of really cool topics like this one. All right, so on to the good stuff here, Marcos. Hey, whoa, 20 minutes. I didn't say 20 minutes. I said I could do that in 30 minutes.
Yeah, but it's a challenge. Okay. I like to challenge you, as you know. So
I've never really made 20 minutes on my demo before, so this should be interesting. So we decided to challenge ourselves a little bit with this session because a lot of people were really interested in Hyper-V as a technology. But they were scared of taking and working through and setting up the clusters and some of the advanced technologies that you can use with Hyper-V. So we decided to show you just how easy this could be with a little bit of automation, innovation, and back-end engineering. So we will build for you, real-time, live, a 3-node, fully functional Hyper-V cluster in less than 20 minutes. From bare metal, we're going to format all these laptops. Well, not the one I'm presenting on, because then that wouldn't work very good. And then we've got a little section in here for some really good design checklists. We'll talk a little bit about Hyper-V clustering, some of the components there, some of the new virtualization innovations that Microsoft has. And then what we're going to do is my friend Rick Byrne from Veeam is here. He's in the audience. I've got a couple of slides on the awesome things that Veeam does for backup and replication. So hopefully he'll be nice enough to come join us at the end of the presentation here. All right, so let's take a look at exactly what we want to do here. So the requirements for this demo, and sorry guys, I didn't have 700 slides. I think I probably have 7, so what's that?
10 frames a second.
Exactly. So what we're going to do for this demo is we're going to bare metal these laptops. We're going to build them with Pixi and a WDS server. I've got a Microsoft Deployment Toolkit share that's set up with my task sequence. Guys, I'm more than happy to share the task sequence and the logic with everyone. I haven't blogged about it because I just built this demo about 10 days ago, and so I haven't had a chance to fully document it or get it public yet. Every component that goes into this demo for you guys to be able to repeat, I will make available for you, all the scripts, everything. We want to go ahead and install Hyper-V 2012 R2, install the Hyper-V role, configure proper networking with a couple cool PowerShell scripts that I have, install the failover clustering role, and as a bonus, enable disk deduplication, which is an amazing feature on Server 2012 R2. I'm getting approximately 85% deduplication ratio on my demo laptop here, which is really cool. So before we get into the demo, I just want to show one really quick thing on the finished laptop. This is the finished product that we're going to have here in a little under 20 minutes. And I want to show you guys the network stack that I have configured, just so that there's no smoke and mirrors. I fully configure all of the converged networking with the Microsoft Teams and all of the virtual adapters. This will all happen automagically. I go ahead and I configure all of the applicable roles in here, including Hyper-V. I enable disk deduplication, and I have failover clustering. The failover clustering role is installed. The only thing that I'll have left to finish that I didn't have a chance to finalize was the final configuration of the actual failover cluster itself. But I was smart enough on these boxes with the logic that I had when I built them. I built a post-install folder, and I dropped my PowerShell scripts in there. Okay, no problem. And so the script that we'll run is very complicated for clustering. I don't know if you guys can handle this. It's about one line of PowerShell code. And it's about probably 20 characters long. So hopefully we can handle that. I'm not a PowerShell guy like Sean Kearney that's here that takes and, you know, makes short work of all of this stuff. So we'll flip back here. A couple little items of housekeeping, Marcos. Let's get into our requirements. So Marcos has generously donated his time to be my assistant for this demo. I have three laptops to build. Marcos can take care of one of those for me because I only have two hands and I can only work so fast.
And just to see how low is Dave estimate. So I'm the best model or the best assistant that he can get. So imagine.
Yeah. Okay. I tried to find a pretty girl, but you know, budget was tight. So we'll settle with my good friend here. So Marcos has never done this demo. Marcos, can you confirm this?
Exactly.
Marcos has never seen this demo before. I've been telling him about it for weeks.
Yeah, I want to see it, but he says, no. You must be ready for the MVP days. You will see it. And in Saskatchewan, we did not present this one. So this is really the first time, and I really want to see this working.
So the information you need to know, Marcos, if you can handle this, the username you will type in, is top secret. It's administrator.
Okay.
That's my email password, so don't share it.
Okay.
Okay. The domain that we're using is called Via Monstra. Awesome solution available from Johan Aardwark. And so he runs a website called deploymentresearch.com, and you can actually build a hydrated environment. And I use that for some of the components. So that's what I've got as part of this. So you need to remember that.
Okay.
The other thing you need to remember is you need to know how to press Escape and F12. To get into Pixie. Or can you handle that?
It's the same time? No.
Well, it's really tricky. I'll show you how.
Okay.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Okay, so now the next one here, I think we're ready to go.
Okay.
But what I'd like to do is just have one more little item of housekeeping. So if you could advance the slide for me. We had to put some risk into this. So what we decided to do was if we couldn't build this in 20 minutes, and we have a counter right up here, and it's gonna be ticking down. And I'm really good at sandbagging demos, guys. So I'm pretty sure I can get this done in 24 minutes if I hustle, Rick. So I don't know. So are you
nervous, Rick?
If we don't make it, Rick Byrne from Veeam will buy each and every one of you a beer, generously donated out of his own pocket. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you,
Rick. All right. So should we get going here, Marcos?
Sure. Let's start it.
So I have to move some of the waters and get these out of the way.
Let's put this.
All right. So one of the things I have to do is the output resolution's a little bit tricky here just because I'm not in Windows, so I got to press a few things to get going. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave this open for as long as I can on this laptop here as I'm bare metaling it. I just want to prove to you guys that I got a new image that's being laid down to this thing. We will lose video output for about 5 minutes on it. And that's where I run all my magic scripts that I don't want to show you. Okay, so that's where I pop those in. It's just because the video output hasn't displayed and I haven't updated the video driver automatically. So I'll go back and we'll discuss a few things while that 5 minutes goes on. And as soon as the video card refreshes, I can come back to this machine and continue my work. Okay, fair enough. So if this screen goes blank, it's just because we've lost our video output. So Marcos, we will hit start on that as soon as I turn off the power on this particular laptop. And we're going to take and we're going to do a nice safe shutdown on this, okay? So this is holding the power button down because this is always a good idea. And as soon as I press the power button to start it, because I need to give myself every second I possibly can for this demo. Okay, start the clock. Is it started? Is it started yet? Should I press the power button here now, guys? All right, so let me just get into the bootloader here. We'll take and we'll get this displaying. Okay, good. So I can actually see something here. That's great. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're just going to pixie boot this thing. I have to look over my shoulder to do this, so hopefully I can type over my shoulder. Awesome. So now what we're doing is we're connecting to my WDS server. It's just got the ISO that's been built from the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit, and so that's all I'm really loading up here. So the nice thing is you can see that the process was fairly quick. I'm on a gig converged infrastructure here as well. And so while that's going, Marcos, we'll go ahead and we'll start up those other two laptops as well. And if you could just get those into the Pixie Loader screen there. So just press Escape as we go through while that's finishing loading. And then press F12, and then you'll have to press F12 one more time once it prompts you. All right. So what I'd like to do here is I'd like to really thank Rick for all of his generous support. Oh, wait, I should probably actually do some stuff here. Hey, Rick. Okay, so Marcos, this is all that we have to do. We have to click on Run Deployment. And okay. Just so you guys know, I could have fully automated all of this, but I had to throw more elements of risk into this, like typing in a bad username and password. So we'll type administrator, type the password, type the domain. And all that I have to do is just go ahead and select my image that I want, click Next. I want to type a name. So when we get to naming the computer, I need you to stop, Marcos, because I do have a specific name. We're going to call these top secret here, DK demo dash 020. I'm going to be 21, and you're going to be 22 on yours. I'm just going to join this to a domain, and the domain is just going to be Via Monstra. I really hope I didn't make any typos in there, because it's really hard for me to look over my shoulder. So right now, I'm formatting and partitioning the disk on this box. And so while that one's going, I'm just going to go ahead here. And so the name for that one, Marcos, just give me a sec. I'm just going to start this again on this box. This is probably the most complex demo I've ever done in my life, so I really hope I pull this off. There's a lot of moving parts going on in this thing. So this is going to be DK demo dash 021. You're going to be 022, Marcos.
Dash 022?
Yeah, just let me check. DK demo, you're hired.
Don't worry, Rick. I can help you.
All right, and we'll go ahead and click Next.
But then you buy me two beers, okay?
All right, so I have no idea how we're doing for time here. So now is a good time, Marcos, for us to talk about when we take and we build this, the importance of taking and configuring our Hyper-V environment. We can leave this one running. That's fine. Okay. So we'll just talk through it, Marcos.
But the stop is still going. Okay. The clock is still going.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay. So the networking configuration script, guys, that I have, I've used it in production for Hyper-V for probably about the last 4 or 5 years, okay, ever since Server 2012 came out, and I use that for all my converged teaming, VLAN configuration, virtual NIC configuration, everything. It gives you exactly the same things that you would get out of System Center Virtual Machine Manager right inside of Hyper-V natively itself, okay? I am making this script available for you guys on my blog, www.checkyourlogs.net, okay? If you come ask me afterwards, I can give that to you guys. And so that's number one. Second thing, I didn't have a chance to finalize the full build process. So these are non-patched Hyper-V host servers yet, because that does take a little longer, harder for me to get that done in 20 minutes. But I'm going to make that script available for you as well. If you sat my last session, we discussed a little bit about my way of automating patching Hyper-V servers. I have a PowerShell script that's available for that as well. That will also be made available on the blog. Yes? No, I'm a full GUI. Full GUI, yeah, full GUI. So we'll come back here, we'll see how this guy's actually doing. www.checkyourlogs.net.
If you see it at the rolling deck that you have on each of the room, you will see the logo over there as well. So all the MVPs that are participating on this event, you have all the MVPs blogs over there if you want to follow. Just grab that slide or that URL, and it's all available there. Because we do kind of share a lot our knowledge.
Yep, so this is just finishing the image. Marcos, how much time do we have left here? I have no idea here. Just one.
Just one.
The team configuration and my script that I give you is really simple. At the top, you just type in the Ethernet names that you've got in your server. And so if it's like Ethernet, Ethernet 2, Ethernet 4, Ethernet 6, whatever it is, you just modify the very top line of the script, and everything else will go. And I've also got some examples for 10 gig converged as well. Yes. Yes, and you have to do that because there's certain things you can't do in the GUI of Hyper-V to build those. So there's a couple of scripts you have to run. Now, in order to run those scripts, I've had customers do this in the past. They try to run them before the Hyper-V role is actually installed. So let me get my output back here for you guys. This is just setting up devices. So let's just go ahead and flip back to our rolling deck. This is where I go black for about 5 minutes just because it's at a point where it can't actually output. So anyways, what customers will do is they'll take my script, try to run it on a kind of virgin Windows Server 2012 box. The PowerShell providers aren't there until the Hyper-V role is installed. So you have to first install the Hyper-V role, then you run the script. And that's the nice thing about me giving you the logic inside of my task sequence, because when I give you the logic inside of my task sequence, what will end up happening is it will take and it'll show you the logical progression that you have to go through to actually build this properly. And so let's say, for example, you've got HP servers and you have to do like the softpack installs and stuff. There's logic that you can add into that sequence to do all your softpacks, your firmwares, the proper build. Like if I was doing this on a real server instead of a laptop here, this would take approximately, I don't know, an hour by the time it's all patched and firmwared and everything up. And it's just, it's the life of what it is. That's not going to display yet, Marcos, because no. It has to take and it has to finish installing the NIC driver or the video drivers first.
I don't want our friend Rick nervous.
Well, so here's the thing. He just touched my demo laptop. I didn't give you permission to touch that.
Yes, I'm your assistant, correct?
So just so you guys know where we are right now, this right now is installing the failover clustering role as well as Hyper-V, and it's in its third reboot cycle. When you install Hyper-V, it takes a couple reboots. So now this is already into its second reboot. The failover clustering role is just sliding in, and these two boxes are just coming online for the first time here. So what we're going to do is we'll do the initial cluster configuration on the first box that we've got here, and then what we're going to do is we'll just roll it over to the other two. How I have this set up is a really cool way. So Microsoft invented this new concept called Hyper-V over SMB. I don't know if you've heard of this, but if you haven't, you need to look into this. That's how I'm configuring my cluster. I have no underlying, I do not rely on any underlying storage at all. So my MDT server that I have is called MDT01. I simply just have a file share that's on that MDT server that I'm going to just use for storage across these VMs and across this network. So that's cool. So I don't have to set up any iSCSI components or things like that to actually make this work. All right? So that's pretty neat. Still won't display. The video drivers still aren't there yet. Check our time. How are we doing? Are we at 19 minutes yet?
11 minutes. So
okay,
yeah.
Hold on. I take a big deep breath. I think it takes me 11 minutes.
It's time to go to the washroom, correct?
Yeah. Actually, we can go grab a coffee break if you guys want. We'll come back at 18 minutes, and I'll finish this up for Rick. So my box right now is just going ahead and installing the failover clustering role. That doesn't actually require a reboot and the next one. So I'll be able to get my display back here in about 30 seconds. The NVIDIA drivers on my laptop are going to get injected here real shortly. Um, Okay, so just because we're recording, I'm just gonna repeat the question here. So the question was, with the failover clustering role, does it have to know about the SMB shares? And the answer is no. When you configure a failover clustering role, there's a little checkbox that says, like, I don't care about the storage, and you just uncheck that checkbox, and then it'll stand up the cluster without doing any validation checks on any of the storage. Because I already know that I can map over here because I'm building these machines right now. Yes, and I purposely for this demo, so the question was, will that be done later? And so yes, I purposely for this demo did not automate the failover clustering piece because I needed once again more risk, and GUI for me equals risk, and that's risk for Rick. I can see beads of sweat coming down his face right now because I wanted to show you guys what the interface and the configuration looked like here so that you could actually see kind of what was going on. So these builds, I have tested these. They'll normally complete, so by the time I have access back to this machine, I normally have access back to this machine at about 13 and a half minutes. So that leaves me approximately 6 minutes or so to finalize the configuration of the cluster, but I can't actually finish the 3-node cluster until these other two machines finish building. So the other two machines finish building at about 17 minutes. So I leave myself a really big buffer of room in there. To actually get this done. So like I said, it's kind of neat to see this stuff hot and live because a lot of people have fear around the builds of the clusters like this. So what do you guys think of this demo? Is this something pretty cool to actually see live? I don't know about you, my heart's racing right now because I really hope that this actually works properly. So what just happened on my box here is that the networking script just ran on it, so it just actually configured all the converged parts. I told Marcos it's not going to go until I tell him it's ready, so he can keep changing the switcher. It's not going to make any difference. So now it's installing the driver. See, it says installing NVIDIA display driver. Okay. So what I'm going to do, Marcos, the next time we run this is maybe I'll move the NVIDIA display driver higher up on the list.
Yes.
That would probably make more sense. Okay, perfect.
He all right. Says installing Hyper-V.
Now I'm ready to output something here. There we go. Now I can actually show something. So what's our timer at, Marcos? That's no good. Yep. What are you showing people a black screen for? So I have 7 minutes and 45 seconds left. I'll be able to touch the keyboard sometime within the next couple minutes here. So just a show of hands, what do you guys think of this so far? Is this cool? I bet you didn't think you were coming here today to see this kind of risk, right? In fact, I'm so confident on this. If this doesn't work, I will fire Marcos as my assistant.
At least I got the beer.
Yeah, exactly. So this NVIDIA driver install is gonna wrap up here. It's actually running on the other two boxes as well.
Yep.
And this is going to be my final reboot that I have. So I'm about, what would you guys say I'm at for bare metaling these? So I'm coming back online last reboot. By the way, these laptops are configured with Samsung 700 gig SSD drives. That's one of the reasons that they are building so fast. But I am building over the network, so I just had to add a little bit more risk into this. So this is just coming online, and then this is just gonna finish up with those display drivers here real quick. And so I should be able to get in to check a few things on here now. Perfect. Okay. So is that the way a normal networking configuration looks like in Windows? No, I don't think so. Do you normally have predefined networks for host and iSCSI and cluster CSV and live migration? Yeah, not so much when you build your Hyper-V clusters. But my PowerShell script ran and built that all nicely for me, so we're good to go there. I know that my communications are working properly, and so I think actually at this point in time, I should be pretty good to go because this thing here should be done pretty much everything that it needs to do. So let's go into Server Manager here. Let's just see. Yeah, I've got a few things installed. Marcos, I need a time check there. How am I doing? Okay, so first thing I need to do here is this, I should actually let this finish, guys, but with 5 minutes and 50 seconds, I could try accessing the failover clustering role, but you have to actually be logged in as a domain administrative account. So unlike my previous demo, I'm not going to shut down this server because that's not a good idea for, I can though if you want, Rick. So we'll just sign ourselves out here. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to log in with a domain administrative account. Password was right. That was a close one. All right, so now what we're going to do is we're just going to open up an administrative PowerShell. So I like to use PowerShell ISE. I don't know about you guys. This code that I'm going to give you guys is really top secret. Like, if you're going to take pictures of code, take pictures of this, because
it's under NDA.
This is just going to absolutely blow you away with the difficulty of setting up a cluster now. So I had this script called create Hyper-V cluster. I put a whole bunch of, you know, a wording at the top here to make it look like it was a real script. And then I scroll down and I had like, Make sure I named this right. So I got to change my name. So I call this 020. So now not only am I taking and I'm building a cluster on the fly, I'm coding on the fly too. I don't know if you guys noticed that.
You are almost a developer now.
That's pretty amazing. So I'm gonna call my cluster 99 because, you know, I still love Gretzky. There we go. And we're just going to take and we're just going to run this. Oh, please work. All right. So we're going to go ahead and run that. And this is going to build my cluster for me now. And see this no storage? I think we had a question about the storage reliance. So now I've got the option for no storage. So that's what's going to build this cluster for me with the no storage output. Whew, it connected to Active Directory. Yes, it always broke. That's the first time that worked. Awesome, awesome. I have a cluster. All right, so no, wait. We got to add more risk. We have to add more risk. This is what we need to do next, all right? More risk. So what I need to do is I need to open up Failover Cluster Manager. Marcos, what's my time check there? Do I still have at least a minute left as you're blanked out again?
Yes.
How much time do I have?
3 minutes and...
This could be a new world record. I'm so excited. All right. So I'm going to go ahead and click next. I'm going to add my other two nodes to the cluster because I think that would be fun. DK demo dash, I forget, what did I name those things again?
21, 22.
0.
21.
2,
1. 2,
1. What was the second name?
You want me to say in Portuguese?
Yeah, please.
Is 0 do 21.
I just learned Portuguese. Not only can I build a Hyper-V cluster in less than 20 minutes, I can learn Portuguese in less than 20 minutes too. All right, so I'm just going to skip the validation warnings because that's a good idea. And we'll go ahead and we'll let this confirm. I'm going to uncheck the storage checkbox there. That's the same one as the PowerShell script. And what's my time check now, Marcos?
2 minutes and 50 seconds.
Oh, so now I have a three-node cluster that's built, and that's done in less than 18 minutes. Look at that, and green lights. But it wouldn't be a demo if I didn't actually build a Hyper-V virtual machine. So let's go ahead and let's build a Hyper-V virtual machine, and let's see. The test is not complete unless I can live migrate this thing across to one of the other nodes. That's the final test, not just building this. So we're going to call this awesome1. And then what we're going to do is we're going to connect to my share, MDT01, cluster VMs, $. Really good idea to hide that share name because I always remember that. We're going to create as a Gen 1 VM, 2 gigs of RAM, dynamic memory because I've checked with all my best practices. Oh, look, I have a virtual switch created. That was so good of me to build my clusters the same way. And so we'll give it a disk, and I'm actually, you know what would be fun is if we actually bare metaled this VM underneath as well and then live migrated that, that would be pretty cool. I think I still have a minute left.
Minute in 10 seconds.
Holy, we're getting close. Let's start. Oh, please. Oh, it did it. Okay. And now we're going to move this, live migrate, select node. Just to make sure that you guys know, I'm on 020. Move. Please work, please work, please work, please work, please work. Boom. Done. Stop the counter. Oh, wait. No, actually, we're not done. How much? We have 36 seconds left?
Yes.
I have something else I have to do on here. I don't know what it is. We got to at least go like 20 minutes and 1 second. So got to kill some time here. I could probably build 2 clusters in 20 minutes. I don't know. So this will take and connect in a second. Then I could actually pixie boot this thing across. So there you have it. A 3-node Hyper-V cluster with networking configured, deduplication enabled, all of the disks properly built, where I've got D drive for prod VMs and all that was built through the sequence. Everything done in less than 20 minutes. And just to show you guys how nice and
finish the time now.
Just to show you guys how nice and fast this is, I can actually WDS boot this VM that's running underneath, and I can go ahead and start and install a Windows 8 or Windows 7 or Windows 2012 on the same box from the same infrastructure. I think that's a pretty cool
demo. Isn't that awesome? Come on.
So what do you guys think of that? That's not bad for putting together a demo in 7 minutes. So, yeah, I have the DC built out already. So the question was, did I have a domain controller and stuff built out ahead of time? And yeah, absolutely. I had two things that I did that I didn't do from scratch in there. Number one is I didn't build my Active Directory because I just couldn't get that done inside of that time frame. And number two is I created a SMB3 share that I just gave like everyone full control permissions to on that MDT01 box. So this laptop over here, the fourth laptop, is running two other VMs that I've got to actually make that happen. Everything that I used and the build process and how I did this demo, what we'll do for you is Marcos and I will reinvent this demo for you from scratch. And so first of all, it starts off with us probably drinking some nice scotch and coming up with the ideas for these demos, because that's when they're probably going to come at the best time.
Oh, yeah.
And what we'll do is we'll build a blog post so that you guys can repo pretty much everything that's there. All right, sound fair? So is that pretty cool? So that's just one way of doing it. There's lots of other ways of automating. What I showed you, though, was 100% free. Everything I showed you, there's no additional licensing costs or anything like that around. So
yeah.
Anyways, I thought that was pretty cool to be able to do that. So I got a couple other things I want to go through with everyone here. And so we'll go through a quick Hyper-V design checklist here. If you sat my previous session, some of these are going to be a bit of a repeat. But I probably got about 15, 20 minutes left, so I just wanted to go through a couple other ones that were available. There's a Microsoft Platform Field Engineer that's published an awesome guide, like comprehensive guide on checklists for Hyper-V when you're building them, and that's where a lot of this content that I have came from. And so a couple of things you want to consider. You want to consider using Server Core, A, because you can flip between Core and GUI mode very easily. B, it reduces your patching surface. So sometimes patches require reboots, which require outages and things like that. Even although we've got cluster aware updating and server 2012 R2, it's still, I want to make sure that I lighten that footprint. Guys, 99% of my builds are all GUI based. I leave them behind with the customer. They like something that they can feel and touch. You're not really going to see a performance degradation there. Make sure you update your servers. Windows updates on those servers is number one. Number two, make sure you install your appropriate Hyper-V hotfixes. I've got your downloader script for that. That'll automate that process. Marcos on his blog has some really good guidance in there as well around taking and checking for hotfix levels on your servers and your farms and stuff like that. We want to take and you want to just make sure that you only have core cluster roles on these host servers. You notice how I didn't install anything else on these host servers except for what was absolutely needed. Because in the event that one of these dies, I need to have as minimal footprint as I can. Plus, there would be like licensing implications from Microsoft if I didn't build those properly. You want to disable RDP printer mapping on your Hyper-V host servers. There's a group policy that you have that you can disable this. If you download my slides, I've got the GPO listed in the notes section inside of my slides for this. And the reason for that is you do not want to be bringing in printer drivers into an actual server, okay? Rule of thumb number one is you should always have an admin account when you log into a server that is kind of precluded from any group policies like printer mappings, drive mappings, any of that stuff. because if you load a driver that's not designed for 2012 R2 onto this box, you could cause yourself a blue screen event because maybe that driver's not built, designed, or meant for that platform. All right? Then no other roles on there as well. Antivirus exclusions is going to be a big one. And how about bin files, Marcos? What should you do surrounding the bin files when you're taking and planning for Hyper-V host servers? First of all, is it a good idea to just consume all of your disk space on a Hyper-V volume and not leave room for the bin files? Maybe these people don't even know what a bin file is. Yeah. Maybe we should tell them.
Yeah, of course, tell them.
So the bin files are going to be your memory that you have that's going to be associated with the virtual machine. So if, for example, you have 64 gigs of RAM that's allocated to a virtual machine, that bin file is going to be created for the swap space for memory. You have to plan for that when you design your Hyper-V host servers, and you've got to make sure that you don't run out of disk space. Leave enough buffer in there so that if you have a big host server with like 256 gigs of RAM, you need enough host room on all your volumes so that you can start those VMs adequately. Okay, it's a temp piece of storage that's required for Hyper-V. The next one is called Microsoft PAL. You want to know why? Just like you're my pal, Microsoft's my pal as well. Okay, have you guys ever heard of Microsoft PAL? It's a CodePlex download, all right? It's the performance analysis and logging tool. How many of you have ever struggled with finding the best practices for performance resource monitoring inside of your worlds, inside of your server farms? So PAL, what it does is gives you all the perfmon counters that can be exported out to an XML file. They have them for Exchange, for SQL, for Link, for pretty much any Microsoft workload. It was written by Microsoft Premier Field Engineers. And then once they run the reports, they red light, green light all the reports because they know that a disk length, queue length of 2 is bad, so they red light that for you in your report. 100% free CodePlex download. Just search Microsoft PAL. Very cool. There's also some new guidance around Windows Server role performance tuning, so you can check that. So there's a performance tuning guide for Hyper-V. It lists all the tweaks that you can make to your network stack to make sure that your Hyper-V host server is operating optimally. That's also in a link inside of my notes for the deck. I'm not a big fan, guys, when I present about putting links up here. I'll put them in the notes section down below so you can just download the actual deck. There is supportability issues surrounding Windows teaming drivers and TCP chimney. Okay, one of the other things my script did is it disabled chimney because not supported if you use Windows software teaming. Okay, that's one tweak you have to make, and it's inside of that best practice guide as well. And then the last one is you know when you format your disks and there's a little pull-down checkbox and it has like 4K all the way to 64K, best practice guidance is 64 kilobyte blocks. Unless your storage vendor tells you otherwise. If your storage vendor tells you that there could be something else optimal, then you're going to take and you're going to configure in that fashion. Yeah. All right, so what I'd like to do is maybe, Marcos, if you wanted to go through some of the Hyper-V scalability improvements.
Yeah, sure. So one of the things that we are seeing since the first version of Hyper-V is the scalability improvement. So regarding 2012, we can have right now a 64 processor inside of a virtual machine. So this is nothing to do with the host. This is related to the virtual machine. So the Hyper-V himself, like the host, can have 320 logical processors. Inside of, regarding the physical memory, for a virtual machine, it's 1 terabyte. So it's pretty cool. So now running Oracle databases or big SQL databases, we don't have problem with that. We can have 1 terabyte for that particular virtual machine. Regarding the host, it's 4 terabytes, the maximum capacity per host. So if you have a cluster of 2 nodes, you can have 8 terabytes combined, okay? Virtual CPUs per host, it's a maximum of 512. And 2048 on a physical host. Regarding the VM, that's the host. Regarding the VM, you can have virtual CPUs per VM is 4. This is correct?
No. For what? That's a typo.
Okay.
That's typo. You must have touched my slide deck.
Oh, sorry. This is what it was before and what we have now. Correct.
I was so nice to ask Marcos to present with me 15 minutes before I went on stage. That's the kind of pal I am. All right, so I think that's good. We've got a few more things that we want to go through here.
The thing that they did improve a lot is regarding the cluster piece, because having, so since 2012, they increased the cluster up to 64 nodes. So 64 nodes is a pretty big cluster.
So I could do this with 64 laptops?
Yeah.
In 20 minutes? I need a lot of helpers. Full audience participation. Everybody grab a laptop.
So I already run with that problem before on 2012, 1,000 VMs within the cluster. When we have like a very big cluster, it's not very helpful. So Microsoft did increase that for 8,000 VM per cluster, okay? So if you divide that by 64, you have a pretty good ratio of the VMs.
All right, so we had a quick little section just about clustering here. And then with the last few minutes that we've got, what I'm going to do is I'm going to see if Rick, if you'd come up and just speak to Veeam a little bit here. All right. So I'm not going to spend a whole ton of time on these because we've got these all listed out and we've kind of discussed some of these pieces. I'm just going to kind of pick some of the key highlights to failover clustering. As Marcos mentioned, failover clustering, beautiful. 64 nodes, awesome. Oh, it was so tough to configure. That was two lines of PowerShell code. Okay, can't really make it much easier than that on you for Server 2012 R2. Those of us that have worked with failover clustering before understand there's more stuff that goes in behind the scenes there with some of the quorum configurations and things like that. But now we can even have stuff like dynamic witnesses and dynamic quorums basically inside of the clusters. One of the big things is that if you want to set up that failover cluster, that needs to be in a domain joined environment. So those cluster nodes need to be domain joined. All right, so we'll go ahead. I've got a few more things I want to cover here. So, all right. So we've got failover clustering. We've got full support for in-guest clustering. I can't remember if I talked about it in this session or the last one, the shared VHDX. Shared VHDX is a new feature with Server 2012 R2. It allows me to do in-guest clustering without having to rely on any underlying storage. So that file share that I had on MDT01 with cluster VMs where I set up that VM for my demo, I could put a shared VHDX in there and I could actually set up a file share cluster underneath there, which is cool. Full support for shared VHDX, which is good. And then integrated NIC teaming support as well. So all of these clusters are using Windows NIC teaming, and I can be passing iSCSI traffic and everything out through the virtual NICs and things that I have created underneath. All right, so for backup and replication, we can take and support full support for Hyper-V for incremental backups, which is great. We've got awesome vendors here that are specific to virtualization backup, which is Veeam. Veeam actually has a presence at the show here this week. And Rick, who's going to come up and discuss this in a few minutes, is actually one of their senior SEs that goes around to customers and sees lots of designs. And we're seeing tons of uptake in the Hyper-V space for those guys. With DPM, we can take and we can support full backup to Windows Azure. Hyper-V 2012 R2 also supports replication built right into the product. Like I said, with Veeam, you can maybe take this to the next level, but it does work. I can replicate VMs kind of without any issues at all. All right, couple virtualization innovations. Generation 2 virtual machines, absolutely amazing. Not so amazing when Dave's building a demo where he's showing you how to migrate from Windows 2003 to 2012 R2 and realizes that you can't put VHD files into a Gen 2 VM. It only accepts VHDX. So watch your platform support. Make sure that you're watching your workload support as well for Gen 2.
Yeah.
The new synthetic Pixie booting capabilities inside of there and UEFI support are very cool inside of Gen 2 VMs. So that's
and
neat.
This is a particular good topic if you are a support or if your company just provides service for other companies. This support UEFI, it's really, really good because then you can have secure boot. So it's hard to just, starting to be hard to just hacking those machines.
Yep. Some of the other things is enhanced session mode support. Yeah. We've got a couple more that we'll go through here. And then automated VM activation, all right? And so what I'd like to do now is we've got probably about 5 minutes or so left. And what I'd like to do is turn the floor over to my good friend from Veeam, Rick Byrne. Let's give him a round of applause here. Awesome.
And all so right, my... Okay, my legs are still a little bit shaky after that whole giving away free beer stuff. I mean, Veeam, we are a little bit of a drinking company, but, you know, my sales guys do that.
I bet you've never been part of a demo like that before, Rick.
It was good. Really good, guys.
Awesome.
So around Veeam backup replication, Marcos and Dave showed a great ability to get that up in 20 minutes. Imagine if you could have your backups protected in that. Add another 10 minutes to that. So I think that's something me and Dave should do, co-wrote a blog post together, and we'll do the whole automation of Veeam backup and replication on top of his 3-node cluster. So with Veeam, we're powerful, easy to use, and affordable. Now, what that's all about is an agentless solution. So the great thing about Veeam is, hey, it's all about the virtual machines. Is there a spot I'm supposed to be in?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm usually not taped.
Now you're on the X.
Okay. So with Veeam backup and replication and no agent, that's great because there's nothing to maintain, there's nothing to manage, but we're giving you that full application consistency of your virtual machines. So also when it comes to that, we come into play and we're not missing the ability to give you the restores you need to be able to restore what you need in minutes and not hours, giving you the capability to restore an Exchange item, an Active Directory item, a SQL database, whatever you need. Now, I'm not going to go too in-depth to it. It's full support for Hyper-V 2008 R2 up to Server 2012 R2, but I'm also going to have a breakout session today at lunch, and I'll go more deeper into it. But that's kind of the Cole's notes.
Awesome. And so I had one slide I wanted to just show here. And so this one here was really neat for me. This was actually a backup of a production Exchange server using Veeam. And so this was running on a Hyper-V 2012 node. And so this backed up my entire Exchange server, including about 2 terabytes of mail. And I think the job finished in, I don't know, it was.
That's no Photoshop, is it?
It was less than 20 minutes. Well, I tweaked a few things.
Okay.
I took away the red and I put in the green and stuff like that. So, but it was like less than 20 minutes for my full backup cycles for Exchange. I could do single mail item recoveries right within there. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You bet.
All right. Just ask Crystal.
Awesome. Okay, so we have a couple minutes here for some Q&A. And I hope you guys really enjoyed that session. That was a lot of fun to take and to present, and hopefully you picked up a few new things going through there. Any questions? No questions? Got one question. Yes. Yeah, we can. I can discuss that with you afterwards if you like. Is that okay? Yeah, we can take and I can chat with you afterwards. It's kind of a tough one to just answer and kind of loosely in like 1 minute or 2 minutes while we've got some Q&A. But come up and see me. We'll for sure go through. The question was just on Serv.io and some of the networking components and stuff for Hyper-V. All right, I think we're going to wrap it up there, guys. Remember, I want to thank all of our sponsors for their generous support making this a free event.
Yeah.
And as well, don't forget to take and to get your tweets going for CDN MVP days. You know, that's probably a $500 giveaway that we took and that we threw in, and it's a lot of fun. Get creative, have some fun with this. Marcos and I are not on the selection committee, but we do know the people in the selection committee, so we absolutely accept bribes, no problem. So we can take and we can
help
with that.
Dave, this is being recorded.
Oh, okay. So we do not accept bribes. All right. Your evaluations are one evaluation for the entire event, so make sure that you let us know your feedback. The link is down there. It's just bit.ly/CDN MVP Days-BC. All right, so make sure you fill out your evals. All of the sessions that you attend will be on one evaluation form. So please let us know your feedback. We want to make this kind of a reoccurring event every year. And thank you guys for your time. I believe that we're at a break right now, so they probably have some snacks and stuff in the main foyer area or just in the main hall. And thank you guys very much for your time for sitting the session.
Thank you.